You're listening to the People's Summit Daily Radio Program in English, broadcasting live from the People's Summit in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the first edition of the People's Summit Daily Radio Program in English. We are your hosts for tonight. My name is Dorothy Guerrero from Focus on the Global South.
And I'm Felicia Berriesa from La Vía Campesina. We're broadcasting live every evening directly from the Cúpula dos Povos, or the People's Summit, in Rio de Janeiro from 8:30 to 9 p.m.
We are now in the studio of Radio Cúpula, or Summit Radio, which is a community radio set up to share with you the activities and important discussions that are taking place here and in the official Rio Plus 20. Over the next 6 days, we will be joined by different discussants, and we will have different themes for you. So join us every night as we are preparing different themes, and we will talk about people's alternatives from tonight until June 22.
Before we begin the program tonight, I think it's important to mention that today Radio Cúpula was almost taken off the air when the Brazilian Federal Police arrived in the afternoon with an order to shut the radio down, despite the fact that we do have a permit to be on air.
Yes, Felicia, but look, we are here and broadcasting. Thanks to the organization and resistance of the communications team, we are using the radio, and thanks to the popular support of the participants of the summit.
When the police arrived, people made a human chain to block the entrance and to defend our People's Summit radio. Thanks to them, we're here now. And as participants and supporters of the radio, we want to emphasize the importance of defending democracy and media.
Yes, that's very important, Felicia. Today we are broadcasting in our first program. This is the only English program of the People's Summit, and we have an exciting show for you tonight. The People's Summit is a special and historic event, and as we are discussing here what is happening in the Rio Plus 20, we will also share with you what is at stake and what are the people's ideas and alternatives to what is now a wholesale event where our lives and the planet is being put up in the market.
Our first guest here tonight to talk about the People's Summit, the events and activities going on from June 15th to June 22nd, is Alessandra Seregatti from the International Secretariat of the World March of Women. Welcome.
Good evening. I'm very bad in English, especially if I speak like this, without a lot, no preparation. So, well, you asked me to speak a little bit about what are the goals of this summit and why it's different from other processes like similar to this, especially the social forum process. Well, I think the most important thing concerning the goal of the summit is that we aim to build convergence for action. So should I continue? So we see this event is in a moment as a moment of this process of building convergence for action. So different from the social forum process, here we organizing the methodology in a way to build common comprehension and common action around the three main axes. So the first one, the causes of the different expressions of the crisis, the environmental, food, financial, and for us of the World March of Women, the crisis of the model of reproduction. No? So, and in the same axis, the idea to denounce the false solutions. So the other thing, the second axis of this summit is our solutions. What are the solutions that people are building, such as food sovereignty or putting sustainability of life at the center? So these are solutions that we are building as a movement, as organizations, grassroots organizations, as communities. And these are not being listened as solutions for the crisis by our governments in the official summit. And finally, the third axis is our calendar of struggles after Rio Plus 20, because we know that it's not enough only to discuss, to have a nice document, to have a nice propositions, if you don't build a strong power in the street, strong force power in the society, if you don't build and put a lot of people around the same proposal, so we cannot achieve this other world that we want to build, you know? So today was the first day of the what we call the pre-convergence plenaries, which are preparatory to the assemblies around these three different axes. So this in the morning of today, we had the five simultaneous plenaries around the five thematic axes, no? The social, the first one was the environment and social justice and rights. Second was common good. And the third one was food sovereignty. And the other, the extractive energy and the industry. And finally, the work for another economy, new models of society. So in these five plenaries, we discussed the same things in the morning. What are the causes of the crisis? Then in the afternoon, we spoke about our solutions. Okay. So and this will continue tomorrow, and also five simultaneous plenary discussing our agenda of struggles. So there's everything to prepare the assemblies that will be organized around the same axis.
Great, thank you. Right now we're gonna go to a quick break and we'll be right back with more program.
Very good.
We are back. Dear listeners, there are 20,000 people from all over the world and from different movements, networks, and community organizations discussing different issues here at the Atero do Flamengo. That shows how people feel about the discussions and the future of the planet. Our next speaker will share what is the status of the Rio+20 discussions. We have Mr. Pablo Solon, Executive Director of Focus on the Global South. So, Pablo, what is the importance of Rio+20? What is being discussed there in Rio Centro, and what is at stake here for all of us?
Well, first of all, let me congratulate you for your first program in English. Well, what is happening? I can say that we are seeing that the Rio+20 conference, the official conference, is being kidnapped by the G20, by the 20 countries that are having a meeting in Mexico. In reality, the governments, the presidents that are going to come here to Rio de Janeiro are not going to be the presidents that are going to decide what is going to happen here, because it's absolutely public that the president of Brazil has brought to Mexico the draft text and is trying to get an agreement in Mexico with, of course, Obama, Angela Merkel, and all the big players. And so they will come back here, and they will tell us, hey, this is the agreement, you take it, yes or yes. So the Rio+20 conference is being captured by the G20. So we're in facing that 20 presidents are going to decide for 193 nations. And they are going to decide on a key issue, that is, to open nature into a new process of commodification and privatization, because that is what green economy about. At this moment, there is a lot of discussion saying that there are no agreements, but in reality, there is already one understanding, and it's that they are going to agree to have this green economy. The main discussion is, how is it going to be implemented? Who is going to be the one that's going to develop the indicators? What is going to be the amount of finance or transfer of technology for this? But it's a pity to say that there is not, inside the Rio Plus 20 conference, a debate on should it be a green economy implemented, should it be accepted as not? So that is the situation where we are, very similar to what we have seen in the case of climate change in the COP in Copenhagen.
Pablo, we heard yesterday that you had a very interesting debate with Mr. Achim Steiner of the United Nations Environment Program. Can you tell us a little bit about that debate?
Well, Achim Steiner came here to tell us fairy tales about green economy. He said, you know, in green economy, we don't want to privatize nothing. We don't want to make markets. We only want to give value to nature. That's the only thing we want to do. And he said that he personally doesn't promote markets, that he personally is not in favor of the capitalist system. So if you were there, it was really a fairy tale, like the fairy tales that I used to give to my daughter when she was young. But so what the debate was, to show that he was really not telling the truth. That first, the UNEP and he himself have developed the theory that we need to go to a capitalism of three dimensions. That's what they say. They say that in order to have a capitalism, we have to have not only the physical capital, not only the human capital, but also natural capital. That's the goal of the green economy. And yes, they want to put monetary value into certain environmental services in order to bring them into the market. And if they say that that's not their intention, just look at RED, the program on forests that is called Reduction from Emissions from Deforestation and Degradation of Forests. Why they are measuring the CO2 that a forest can capture? They are measuring that in order to put into the market carbon credits. Carbon credits that are going to be polluting permits for big transnational companies in the north so that they can continue polluting our atmosphere. And in reality, this is a business that's going to take place, and it's a new kind of market. Because what we are going to be trading around the world are papers that are going to say this is amounts for 10 tons of CO2. So it's a very speculative market what green economy is going to develop. So don't tell us fairy tales. Green economy is about the commodification and privatization of nature. And I think that Achim Steiner had it very clear that we weren't going to listen anymore to its fairy tales.
Well, that sounds very, very alarming. It's not only that what we are actually having is a G20 disguised as Rio Plus 20, and those of us who are following the discussion agree that that is what is in the heart of the problem of this Rio Plus 20. So what can we do now, and how can we move beyond this alarming result of Rio Plus 20?
Well, I would say that the People's Summit has already one achievement. We have seen today that most of the plenaries, if not all, have clarity in relation to what green economy is. But now, it's not enough to know what green economy is. We have to come out of here, of La Cúpula dos Povos, with a clear plan of action that targets the financial capital, the speculative capital that is really behind the green economy. So we have to target those banks, those institutions that make a lot of profit with these derivatives. You know that all the GDP of the world is only $63 trillion, but the market of derivatives is $1,500 trillion. So almost 250 times more than what the whole world produces in a year. So that is just one symptom of the speculation that we are living. And now they want to do more speculation, more profit with the environment. So we are not only going to say no to green economy, we're going to go after them. We have to develop a campaign against this financial system, the banks that are speculating in our countries, at regional level and at global level. We have to target the key institutions that are behind green economy, like JP Morgan, the Chase, and others, because these are the real businessmen behind green economy. So the challenge that we have is to develop and to implement a clear plan of action against the financial speculative system.
Great. Thank you so much, Pablo, for being with us here tonight. Now we're going to go to a quick break. And when we get back, we have here with us Nettie Webb from the National Farmers Union in Canada, a member of Via Campesina, to give us a brief idea of what happened today inside the official Rio Plus 20 discussions. All right, thank you. Nettie, please let us know what you know about the discussions from today.
Well, I was there briefly in the farmers' major group, and the discussion there, I think, reflects the discussion elsewhere. It's low-key, it's pessimistic. I think, for the most part, this Rio Plus 20 has very low expectations, and the very lowest expectations will be fully met. It's there's a lack of urgency about it and a lack of reality. When Pablo says fairy tales, in some ways it's a created atmosphere. There's a lack of reality check. It's Rio Plus 20 because 20 years ago there was an urgent sense that the kind of economies we were creating, the kind of technologies we were using, were so destructive of natural systems that they could not continue, and something had to change. 20 years later, there is not even a really succinct reality check on what has been destroyed, although it's obvious all around us. I mean, we have been ricocheting from crisis to crisis. The financial crisis is part of it, but there's also food crisis, volatility in food prices, and weather, climate crisis. And we as farmers experience that in spades. We know that the climate around us is changing, and it's making our production, our farming, much more difficult. So out there we know that there's a crisis. Inside the Rio negotiations, I scanned the draft text that was released late last night, and it is so business as usual. Economic growth is the lead item. It continues to be defined as capitalizing, commercializing more parts of what they call natural resources, the world around us. And then there's some language, benign language, around sustainability. But it really isn't, it doesn't have any depth. It doesn't have it doesn't have the depth of the furrow in which I put my seed, really. They don't understand, or they choose not to understand what it is that's transpiring around us, how the world is changing, and how the technological solutions, the so-called innovations they're proposing, and the economic sustainability they're talking about are way short of the mark and heading in the wrong direction. And we in the Via Campesina have been very clear. We need a new model. We are specifically focused on food sovereignty as the framework, because the food production is, of course, the way we've reorganized, or the corporate sector has reorganized food production, is both one of the most highly polluting and the most natural nature destroying systems we have, and all of us as human beings depend on it. So I feel a real sense of urgency, and when I stepped into that official summit today, I felt no urgency at present there at all.
Thank you, Neti, for sharing that. I think it's very, very important that our listeners are learning about all this. So before we close tonight's shows, we want to invite you to the Women's Day of Action organized by the Global March of Women, which will be tomorrow. So I would like to call once again Alessandra. Can you tell us more about this?
Well, tomorrow we will march. The women, not only the World March of Women, but a lot of other organizations, women from mixed movements like Via Campesina, women from other feminist organizations here in Brazil and Latin America and the world. And we defined a common slogan for our action, which is women against commodification of our bodies, our lives, and the nature. So we will be concentrating here at MAM, the Museum of Modern Art, at 10 a.m. And we will leave from here until the Largo da Carioca. So people who are part of us who are sleeping at the Sun Ballroom, we will start earlier our march and leave from there, joining women that are here in the territory to live together.
Okay, thanks, Alessandra. So those of you who want to join them, please be there and please be on time.
So we'd like to thank everyone who is listening to us via radio and internet, and the people here listening live at the People's Summit in Rio. Join us tomorrow evening again for our program, which will focus on issues related to water and the whole Rio Plus 20 process.
We're moving right out of Babylon, and we're going to our father's land. Yeah, how good and how pleasant it would be before God and man. Yeah, to see the unification of all Africans. Yeah, as it's been said. Man.